Hey guys, on this episode of EdTech, we're going to be talking about Zoom bombing as well as lessons learned from the second semester of COVID. All this and more on EdTech.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is EdTech, episode 94. Zoom bombing and best practices.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by
Sure, sound extraordinary.
This is EdTech, monthly higher ed tech podcast. I'm your host, Bill O'Donnell. And this month, as always, I'm joined by Mr. Ernie Bailey. Hello, sir.
I'm doing just fine.
Good. As well, I'm joined by Mr. Rob Raspberry. How are you?
Doing great. Snow's melting. That's a good thing.
That is. Also, we have Mr. James King. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Doing well. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. Scott Tyner. How are you, sir?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing well. Always fun to be here.
Yay. So, first off, folks, we're actually going to start this. We're going to start this one off with an article from Scott. It's from RavePubs, and it is entitled Lessons from Semester One. Now, as always, if you've been in higher ed and been a tech manager for anywhere from the past 15 days to the past year or so, we've all been kind of going through a little bit of a baptism by fire. And that is, you know, all of a sudden we've had our provosts, our presidents, and our faculty all going, I don't want to be in the classroom. I have to do, I need to do hybrid or remote, or, you know, we have to work this through because, you know, once again, COVID. So from that, you know, a number of solutions were implemented, and nothing's ever going to be perfect, but there is the, as we put it, kind of good enough. And through some of these, if you read through the article and everything, there are some things that have been kind of a learning process slash, oh yeah, yeah, that too. One of the things I noted in the article was the fact that your most common problem seems to be that your remote side students tend to have an issue hearing everything. Now, it could be that, you know, the way the room was put together, the acoustics are not always the greatest. It could be that the microphone placement doesn't pick up things. But, you know, at the same time, we have to keep in mind that some of this stuff just went, hey, can we get this done before the following semester slash break? And, you know, we've kind of talked about it a little bit here, but in that same time, just about every college and place of higher ed, and we're going to, you know what, just for fun, I'll include the K through 12 realm, suddenly said, oh, we need webcams. Oh, we need microphones. And all of a sudden, it went from finding, you know, your little Logitech cameras, or in my case, you know, we got the hover cams, or, you know, just your basic soundbar and cameras. They were all suddenly became a luxury, and they all suddenly became very scarce and very in demand. So it's all of a sudden it was just like, well, this is good enough. And the other end of it was, you know, after a while, some of the teachers actually, you know, once we got all that in, and some of the faculty actually started learning to use, you know, the actual record features on either, you know, Canvas or Blackboard Collaborate Ultra or Zoom or what have you. Folks started actually like making use of it. So, you know, before I round out the entire article, Scott, was that about the Reader's Digest version of that?
I think so. And for us with the audio issue, it was that we responded to the problem we had at hand, which was there may be a couple students who are remote, and it may happen on occasion, and we may need it to speak in this semester. And what we quickly learned is actually there's always going to be students remote. Some didn't even come to campus. There's going to be some in quarantine. There's going to be some in isolation. And we fell into a little bit of the consumerism trap, which is, boy, I don't know. I can sit around my, you know, den with a webcam and people sitting in the room talking, everybody hears, and just completely different environments. And so we're going to struggle. I'm really looking forward to hear from everybody else about we're going to need to keep these tools in there. I don't foresee these going away, even at a place like Bates, which is an in-person teaching institution. And we're going to have to go through, we're going to install real audio systems in these rooms going forward. I think that the good piece is we have a lot of backing of the faculty. Our faculty really understand when we talk to them, like, no, I get that this doesn't work great. I get how you did this in an emergency. And they're going to back us when we go to administration and say, okay, now we need to do this right.
So, go ahead, guys. I want to hear from around the table, and then I'll give my two cents.
So that's kind of the take I took is when we started to investigate this is I was looking long-term. I knew this wasn't going away. We're always going to have this kind of feature. Now, granted, our biggest problem is a lot of the high quality stuff is big bucks. And I'm sorry, I can't justify spending, you know, $2,000 for a microphone for a classroom. So in the intermediate ones is we went with a lapel system, cheaper, that actually we can split the audio to go into the house and into the computer for Zoom. So the far end hears it clear, just as in the near room. And then we give the body pack in the room, and each faculty member has a lavalier cable.
Yeah, we've kind of gone sort of like down that line, you know, let's get some of these rooms up and going quickly, but at the same time, let's look at what it takes to build them out. And James, on your comment, you know, we are seeing a reduction in price and an improvement in quality over the last year. I mean, it's been amazing what we've seen making these rooms. It's more affordable to do the rooms than it was. You know, what we're doing in rooms right now, you know, we may be spending $3,000 to $4,000 for a classroom that would have cost us $15,000 to $20,000 3 years ago, and getting the same or higher quality and you know, maybe some more functionality and easier, because of COVID, remote access. You know, we can get into it easier than we could with the previous tools because our technicians are not on site either. So we've got to figure out how to build that in. So we're seeing, I think transformation in the whole industry, not just for the education side, but for everybody, and from the manufacturers helping us out on that, which has been, I think, very exciting. But I agree with what both Scott and James have said. This isn't going away. You know, we're going to be doing this, I think, forever now. Yes, we do have things that need to take place in a classroom, but if it doesn't have to take place in person, why not open it up to students offsite? I mean, you know, the tuition collectors really like that because they can collect more money having more students in the classroom without having to build out larger rooms. So, you know, we see a lot of that. And yes, there's always going to be someone who's sick or someone has to take care of a kid or whatever, and they can't make it to class. So we're opening it up to them as well. And on, you know, I've heard about people saying, you know, their classroom shut down, or people don't. Scott was saying, you know, the faculty don't want to go in the classroom. Our faculty members are used to teaching in a certain classroom. So they're saying, I don't want the students there, but I want to go teach in the same room I was. I want that same feel when I'm teaching my students. So we've kind of built those rooms out first, you know, with a single webcam and a microphone if they didn't have it, with some sort of bridging device that converts it to USB so we take it straight into the computer.
It's interesting. So I'm just going to sort of add on and build on what everybody said. So we had sort of a situation with both. So the first thought that we had was let's outfit these rooms to the T, let's get it done. And the budget said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. There's only this much. There's other concerns that other faculty have. And so what happened is we talked about the video and audio soundbars, the Poly solution in the carts. But we were able to get some of the Vadio has a nice conference cam setup where they have two microphones that come down from the ceiling and do great pickup. So in a couple auditoriums, we have those work great. We have some lavaliers in some. with the polycarts that we put with the interactive displays, it was very flexible and works very well. However, what we came up against recently was that it does not do well with music classes. So that there's an audio challenge there. So we're, you know, making adjustments. But yeah, this sort of high flex and it is definitely here to stay. You're right, Ernie, being able to have remote students to bolster the attendance with the face-to-face is going to be there. And yeah, this certainly isn't going anywhere. So there's a lot of interesting challenges, but I think all of us have really, you know, stepped up and taken the bull by the horns and really, you know, done a great job with this.
So Rob, I actually am kind of, now this is kind of a funny bit. Recently, we, at least on my campus, we just put in a couple of WebEx room kits for the music department. And the fact that you're saying, oh, yeah, there's a problem with the music and everything. Now, I'm going to guess it's, and once again, folks, I'll break this down for you and everything. Usually, whenever you have communication, there's either simplex, which is one way, or duplex, which is two way. Normally, when you're doing teaching, it's duplex. Guess what doesn't always work out the best way, because there's always a little bit of a lag slash delay, is when you're doing video conferencing, or specifically when it's, you know, when it comes with, especially with music, it's the beats, it's the timing and everything else. And I'm just for fun, Rob, did it turn into like a Whiplash situation, which if you ever seen the movie, you know, that's the JK, is this a, did any of the faculty turn into JK Simmons?
So a little bit. So it's funny because one of the instructors that we're working with to do a setup actually was very proactive. So what they did is they took a Yeti microphone and plugged it, believe it or not into the sound bar, but into their laptop for Zoom. And that really helped as far as the music portion of it. But at that point, you know, you're weeks in. And one of the things that I was a little disappointed with is that, you know, they didn't contact us sooner to say, hey, this is a bigger problem and you really need to look at it. So the students were a little discouraged, but they flip-flop. One week they're remote, one week they're in class. So it sort of eased the pain a little bit. So really there was only, you know, two instructors as far as this goes that sort of had some difficulties, and then another one was somewhat technologically challenged. So yeah, we got a little bit of, you know, walk into the classroom to talk to them and you get ambushed. You know, it happens, but it's good feedback and we're learning from it. And, you know, we'll definitely be able to fix the problem, because I think, James, you were talking about the, you know, being able to combine microphones and putting it into the system. You know, that sounds like that's, you know, the perfect solution. So,
yeah, it's if anything, one of the bits that the other thing that we've come across is Ernie talked about it in a previous podcast or anything. But for us, we've been kind of trying to get folks into this concept of, well, I just want to do Zoom. Okay, that's great. If I go and say, well, this room does Zoom, you're going to have folks who are going to say, well, you know, I want to do WebEx in here, or I want to do GoToMeeting, or I want to do BlueJeans. Okay, so we've kind of gone and rebranded our stuff saying that I can do soft conferencing. Reason being is that it makes it a more flexible slash generic term. Because folks tend to get like, you know, there's almost this, you know, Zoom has kind of become like the Kleenex of, you know, collaboration slash unified communication. It's not a bad thing so much as just you have folks who are like, no, we do stuff on this one. Oh no, we do stuff on this one. Okay, fine. Me personally, I like doing stuff on Teams, but that's just because everyone I know is right there and I can pull them in and it's super easy. However, most times Teams is meant for internal communication. It's not meant to, you know, bridge across things. So it's one of those like, yeah, it's great if you're within your organization. But the thing I had to laugh about was recently some folks within my campus and everything said, oh, we want to make our rooms Zoom or soft conferencing capable. And I kind of went, okay, so here's a display that has a built-in mic element array. And here's a webcam, or if you don't want that, I can get you, you know, the Yamaha UC soundbar and camera, or the AV or model, whatever. It's not a big deal to me. Oh, no, we need to have like a nice a nice camera for this stuff and this and that, because, you know, we're going to be doing web conferencing in here. And I looked at the guys and everything, and I said, so which software do you use? Oh, we'll use Zoom, and sometimes we use Blackboard Collaborate. And I'm like, okay. Have you guys actually ever been in a Zoom session? Well, yeah. I'm like, uh-huh. Have you guys ever actually ran a Zoom session? Well, no. I'm like, okay. Well, see, the whole point of it is you can have a camera in the room, and that's good if you want to just see the person's face and everything. Other than that, the whole emphasis should be on the content they're providing. Now, the exception to that is, you know, once again, if you're doing music or if you're doing art or things like that, then it's, you know, you're looking more at the hands and motor functions. But guys, just a general question for you guys. Most everyone, you at least have like some sort of like, you know, how-to session with faculty or staff as far as, you know, guys, this is how you actually run an actual Zoom session. And Rob, I'm sure you've probably like run it through with folks, because as much as I want to, as much as, you know, as tech managers go and everything, listen, I want to make things awesome and great and super intuitive. But in the same case, there has to be like, you really have to understand how Zoom and how some of the other UC platforms actually work before, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's, you know, oh, look, we put in a $15,000 DSP and video system in here. Cool. The folks are just going to be running PowerPoint, and they don't want the camera on them.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So, I mean, training is key. You know, we offer these Zoom primers, and we try to get it out to as many faculty organizations and faculty and staff as we can, to let them know that, you know, you really need to go through this so you understand the technology. So, you know, and it's similar to when they walk into, you know, fully outfitted, you know, classroom or lecture hall. They sort of need to know how the touch panels, the controls work. It's the same with any, you know, collaboration platform. So, you know, mainly with Zoom, we offer it, you know, through primers with my staff. We also have like a website that they can go to and they can click on and go through basic things, even how to prevent Zoom bombing. But, you know, one of the challenges you run into is that, you know, you've got to get it out there. How do you get it out there best? And sometimes, you know, it takes sometimes from the higher up from the provost to say, hey, people, we really need to, you know, have you do this, because, you know, we're talking about Zoom bombing. You know, that's it's come back. It's now back in style. And it's because people are not paying attention to best practices, putting links out without passcodes or waiting rooms or whatever out on social media, you know, so that, you know, that you can, that you can have the Zoom bombing trolls look around and find the link and go, aha, we can get in. So it's amazing. But again, knowledge is power. Training is the key. And you know, getting this information out to the faculty and say, hey, come in. If you have a question, we'll show you hands on how to do it.
Yeah. Now, just to back up for this and everything, if you folks don't know, or if you, you know, haven't had this happen to you, Zoom bombing is a more recent thing. And that is pretty much folks will go and hijack a session, drop some terms of unfathomable language, or put up some content that, you know, will make the faculty clutch their pearls. And then they hop out like little trolls. And for us, that actually happened just recently, and it was for a large scale event. And of course they wanted, you know, maximum participation and all this stuff and everything. And they put it out there publicly for everyone. And there you go. And so I think that's one of the things that's gonna be popping back up again, is as much as they wanna have folks go, oh yeah, we want everyone to participate, this and that. If anything, I think either A, we're going to see the resurgence of webinars / meeting rooms, you know, where folks like kind of verify and check who you are before they let you in. You know, you'll be only, you know, viewed as a visitor. You can't actually say anything. And, you know, if push comes to shove and it goes sideways, congrats, folks. We're putting this up on YouTube. We're not going to make the link public. You can say all the fun stuff you want in the chat. We're not going to pay attention to this. I'll never say that out loud, but, you know, usually when the office of the president tends to do something, they already have their agenda set in mind, and you know, they'll pick the Q&A very particularly.
Just have to give this. It's one of these things that I'm sure we've all experienced, right? And so let's pretend that nobody would recognize my voice back at work, because I'm going to pick on somebody. We've had a Zoom bombing before, and they, you know, flipped out. Message to the VP, blah, blah. All right, we'll contact them. All right, we looked at your meeting. You don't you took off the passcode, and you took off the waiting room. Yeah, those are a pain. Right. But those are the things that prevent a Zoom bombing. Yeah, I don't want to use those. How else can I do it? You can't. It's like you just go around and around and around. Like, there's lots of people who get it, and we have lots of people who just jump on. They love the webinar. But it's just like, yeah, I took those off because they're a pain. Okay, these two things don't add up. And frankly, you're smart enough to understand what I'm telling you.
So that's the problem with any security, is the people are the weakest link. I don't know how many of you guys actually attended the HEPMA conference a couple weeks ago, but Harry Mee, who was on there, greatest line I heard, one of the greatest lines. There's a lot of information that was dropped during there. But he said, if it's hard for you, it's hard for somebody else. And I think that's, to you, Scott, like, yeah, it's a pain to go through the waiting rooms and approval and all that stuff. But otherwise, you're opening up your front door and letting everybody in.
Yeah. The best way I've ever, like, someone's thrown it to me is try to explain it to a five-year-old. If you can't explain it to a five-year-old, imagine how hard that's going to be for everyone else. Not saying our faculty are five-year-olds, but keep in mind, a lot of these folks have PhDs and are specialized in things that are far beyond either my interest or my mental capacity. And for them, it does kind of turn into the, okay, how do I automate this and go? And just kind of circling back to what Scott had mentioned before, when it comes to like some of the lecture capture stuff, one of the biggest things we saw was as we were trying to get the faculty up and going with doing Zoom sessions or doing Blackboard Collaborate Ultra sessions and all sort of stuff, the biggest thing they asked was, oh, how do I plug this into my Blackboard shell? And that became like such a number one question that usually I was the one who would end up handling that for the folks, because it was really probably a total of like five mouse clicks or so. But it was one of those, here, you automate it, here you go, there it is. And then on top of that, for us, we also kept constantly having to tell folks, please record it to the cloud. If you're gonna record your session, record it to the cloud. That's the best way to do it. If you record it onto the PC, you're going to have to go back to that room to get it. But that's one of the biggest things. Like I said, that was one of the biggest things, is just getting the faculty kind of used to it, getting them just, it's almost like, I would make the joke of, it's almost like a little teething problem, in which it's like, oh, but I want to do that. I want to do this. Yeah, I know. But you know how folks were heckling you? Yeah. This is how you stop them. You know, it's also in the same way of one of the things we ended up having to, we had to explain to everyone is we use Solstice and WebEx Share on campus and everything. And for them, a lot of the faculty were like, well, can I just put this on and go? And I'm like, no, we have the password on the screen only in order to make sure folks don't hijack it and get in. Oh, but nobody's going to do that. And I'm like, we have students who are malicious and just want to, you know, mess with things. Like, students get bored. They start doing that stuff. What do you want me to say?
I think that's the biggest one, Bill, that we really ran into is people are like, they don't get, like, I don't understand either. Why does somebody want to Zoom bomb? Who the heck knows? But like, they're doing it from other countries. Like, it's fun. They're sitting around laughing. So when you, this idea of who would want to do that to this, it's like, good question, but they exist.
Yeah, it's in the same category of originally James and I were talking about this, and that is here, update the passwords on your AV equipment and everything. Here, put it on its own VLAN. Oh, why do we have to do all that? Why can't it just reside on the rest of the network as everything else? And it's the same reason. It's because guess what? Folks are going to dabble. Folks are going to try to mess around. And why? I don't know. They're bored. And, you know, it's why we put stuff on our own separate VLAN. It's why we also, you know, change all the passwords is, you know, before, you know, as soon as we get the stuff, because we've kind of, we're doing a lot of in-house integration ourselves. So the moment stuff comes in, you know, usually we go and upload everything and redo everything ourselves. Ernie?
Yeah, I can say, you know, we've had students for years just messing with the instructors or whatever. I had a student one time who managed to find the RF frequency of the little remote PowerPoint advancer we had in the room. And they only did it on one instructor. Okay. And she really thought she was losing it because her slides would just start going forward and backwards. And, you know, and if she was called in sick or someone else came in to teach, it didn't happen.
So, Ernie, we actually had an issue like that without it being malicious. They purchased some of these knockoff presenters, the clickers, and it took us a while to figure it out, but it turned out when you turn the clicker on, it connects to the first dongle it sees. Doesn't mean it's the one in the room. So we had ones connecting to other rooms, advancing slides. So that's where I go back with the whole security is It needs, like, humans make mistakes.
Right.
But we got to take the time to fix it, set it up correctly so that those mistakes don't happen. Like Bill was saying, who wants a Zoom bomb? Like, there's other issues there. You could get into a whole race thing or cyber attack, cyber bullying, stuff like that. Zoom bomb, you disrupt the class. Okay, what big deal? But there's other effects that can happen there. And that's, I think, what we got to look at.
Yeah, we look at how to provide the security. One thing I will give Zoom a big plus on here is anytime any of our university links, you know, a Zoom link gets posted to social media, any type of social media, our administrators, our Zoom administrators get an email saying, hey, this event is now on social media. You might want to look at changing the passcode or updating it. And we immediately go to the coordinator of that event and say, did you mean for this to be out in the public? Sometimes it's yes. And if the answer is yes, we do want people to get to this. We teach them about, you know, we say, okay, are you going to be the one running the meeting? Yes, I am. Let me show you the security features at the bottom of the screen for the host of the event. And show you how to use those because you are probably going to get bombed now. And that, you know, just letting them know that those tools are available and that we have warned them, you know, takes a lot of the load off of us at that point. When they come back and say, we got Zoom bombed, I said, well, here's the 7 emails went back and forth between us, and here's the offer of training we gave you to keep it from happening.
Yeah, that's the thing that I swear it's almost like someone going, oh, I don't need to buy flood insurance, really? Because your property, the insurance guys and the mortgage folks are like, you know, this is in a floodplain. Oh, it hasn't flooded here for years, blah, blah, blah. You're fine. Yeah, they're still giving you the heads up. Like, you know, don't put your stuff on the first floor.
But I won't give you a mortgage around here in that case.
For us, funny enough, it wasn't until Sandy that all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, you know, this entire township's a floodplain, right? And it's been amazing seeing like the number of houses that have all suddenly been like jacked up and lifted up and everything.
Yeah, my area, same thing. We have a lot of houses by the water. And after Sandy, they're all getting jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
We're a society of a reactionary. We should get into proactive.
Yeah. So that's, as I say, folks, that's really how I'm kind of viewing this. We're trying to be proactive about this. And obviously, you know, if you're going to have faculty who are going to be sticklers about stuff and go, oh no, this is the way I do it. Who's going to do that to me? Well, the answer is someone who's bored. Now, I'm not going to say that's always, you know, that's a nice thing to say, but once again, you know, why do people troll? Oh, I don't know, because for them it's fun. They you know, why does someone crank call Rob's phone at 3 p.m. on every third Friday? Because I already went on Fiverr and did that ahead of time. Anyways.
Well, you know, the Zoom bombers, you think about it, you know, someone mentioned they're from other countries. You realize the other side of the planet's 12 hours off of us. These are the people that are up at 2 and 3 in the morning. They're the ones that are Zoom bombing, you know? That's the type of people it is. Yeah.
So like I said, folks, it's one of those, you know, do I enjoy doing this on folks? No. But at the same time, if we're gonna try to go for maximum outreach, you have to go through these steps. Like that's at the best way I'm gonna put it is it's best practices. Is it the most comfortable experience? No. But at the same time, folks, we're dealing with a new remote world on things. We're dealing with, you know, we're still gonna be dealing probably with this for quite some time. And even after vaccinations and we've hit herd immunity and everything else, we're still going to have like students who go and say, yeah, can we just do a remote set? Can I come in remotely? And, you know, we really value our students. The answer is going to be, yeah, we're going to be making that. It's always going to be a thing. Anyways, guys, that's about all the time we have. I'm going to go around the room for folks. Ernie, where can the fine folks find you at?
You can find me on LinkedIn.
All right. Mr. King, where can the fine folks find you at?
Best is probably Twitter, AB_James King.
There you go. Mr. Raspberry?
It's LinkedIn.
There you go. And Mr. Tyner, where can folks find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter.
And what would your Twitter handle be there, sir?
It's at S Tyner, STINER.
There you go. And for me, you can find me on LinkedIn. As always, this has been EdTech, part of the AV Nation family of podcasts. As always, this is EdTech.